to Simon, who is not here. Number 9 decided he wanted to be number 10, so number 9 is now Dusty.
He's getting his guitar. He's
coming. I know.
Ad lib?
You sure about that? Nice, he's coming.
Happy Monday. I'm gonna try a new song I've written that's kind of about the speculative nature of everything. It's called Radio. Train runs through my mind. I'll be living in a midnight movie till the day that I die. Through ashes, through fire, everything's defined. Everything we know is just static on the radio. Like laughing with a phantom at the rodeo. Everything we know is just static on the radio. The more I learn, the less I know for sure. So put me on the highway, keep my grave clean. Tried to go straight, but the world's too damn mean. Make me a rambler, put me back in the scene. Out west of Pescadero, south of New Orleans. Everything we know is just static on the radio. The more I learn, the less I know for sure. Everything we know is just static on the radio. Like laughing when a phantom at the rodeo. Everything we know is just static on the radio. The more I learn, the less I know for sure. That's all. We'll bring number 10 up, I guess.
Well, how many talk minutes about what you've done for 2 minutes.
4 minutes.
I got 4 minutes.
Tell us something or do something.
Okay, I'll tell you this. This song's called Decatur. Lipstick traces, crooked skyline, a paper thin hotel night after night, cigarettes overflowing, the ashtray. These foolish things define my life. When you're downtown dancing to jazz in the heat, remember the deal we made on Desire Street. With your back in the city, down on the Bowery, we both know how lonesome the city can be. Church bells are chiming underneath police sirens, and a telephone keeps ringing down the hall. I'm wearing my memories like rosary beads, wondering if my baby ever got clean. We were drunk on Decatur, playing for passing change. I saluted your wisdom, you told me I was strange. We ran off to Coney Island and we swam the dirty sea. I was a cracked carnival mirror when you found me. Dance invitations, empty train stations, the melody to your song I've got all wrong. Phonograph needle, black and white dream. These foolish things define my life. Yeah, Decatur Street is a street that you could go on to play a guitar for passing change in New Orleans, and it's, I made my day-to-day living there for about 9 months doing that daily.
Bravo.
Number 10?
Okay, number
10. I know you're gonna ask me to play this.
Oh! Actually, this is Dusty Santa Maria. Now he's cool. We're gonna put him on the radio.
He's gonna be on the radio.
And your radio static. I want you to sing it again, because we can just
radio.
We can give Clear Channel a hell of a run for their money, maybe. Wouldn't you say he's pretty good?
Yeah.
I found him. I thought he was a young John Lennon, you know. I found him. I own him. I own him, and his father has the same birthday as me, July 4th, 1940. Wow, just before Pearl Harbor and they started their war. Well, we have to, okay. Listen, you are beautiful. So we'll do this. KBOO Radio, Patrick Picard is my ex. How many co-hosts do we have now on the talking room? But anyway, the point is, I wrote this a long time ago, and there are a lot of poets, Lee and Gray. Well, you know, 40 years on KBOO, let's not even think about it. I only do it every other month. He does it once a month. But you know, KBOO 90.7 FM supported one of the most decentralized populist radio stations in the United States, in the world. And they had the most terrifying discussion. It actually, I wasn't even out of bed yet, about Fukushima. And you're not going to like this. California oranges, naval oranges, have radiation, and everyone in the room should buy a Geiger counter. It's not going to help you. But so anyway, I wrote this many years ago. So this is what we're kind of saying here. Unfortunately, we're kind of saying that we're in a perilous time, perhaps the end of the world. I hate that goddamn Judeo-Christian crap. But I wrote this many years ago, The Challenger. And I think I did it when they were doing the rocket ship to the moon or the NASA and it blew up. I think it was called The Challenger and everybody burned up. The Challenger. Okay. Get in the... I saw a man go falling down the sky. When he fell, he asked, why are all the stars not out tonight? 'Tis a pity in my flight to see them shine. He was a star. Where's my glasses? Himself, a flesh and blood meteorite. A pretty picture he made, lighting up the twilight zone between his ears. I saw mankind go falling down the sky. All the stars hidden in the darkest recesses of the galaxy clapped their hands at such a feeble pretense of celestial might. It was such a petty meteor, no more than that. A man on fire dropped like a hot coal into the bottomless and topless universe. I saw a man go shooting and burning across the void. A bit of stardust, a glint in the eyes of darkness. The Challenger. Okay. So I don't know. I hope the human race. Okay. I'll do one more. Do you want to stay with me, kid? Oh, well, you don't. Kid. What do you want to do, kid? I'm the same age as your father, so big deal. I'm not Santa Claus, but somebody. No, I ain't Santa Claus. No. I don't like the dwarves. I don't know why. I don't like them. They make me nervous. Well, we could do, we only have 2 minutes, don't we, buddy? Two?
You have 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute!
1 minute.
Okay, we're gonna do it fast here.
Take it on home, Santa Claus.
Well, you know, okay, it's Christmas. I wrote this in 1976. I was a Jesus freak. Okay, let's go for it. You're not gonna like this. You're gonna hate me. You're gonna put death threats out on me. It's fine, I don't care. I have to die anyway, so that's your problem. The death of Jesus. This is the saddest poem I've ever written. As I write it, tears well out of my eyes. Oh, I can't hardly write it down. Wail and woe. What are we going to do? Jesus died when he was crucified. And with him, the hope of the human race for afterlife. That isn't true. For fear we will hear them. These kind of words shouldn't be spoken out loud. And then won't we ever go to heaven? Jesus died the day he was crucified. And we will die the next day after. Oh, for pity's sake, don't say that. You meanie. You should have more self-respect. You should love your God more. You are the one who deserves to die for saying that. Not us.
Okay. That's your Christmas
The lens started to open, wonder attached to every color. To go back then, I have to buy some shit. I'm tired of regretting my childhood. Nobody could ever appreciate it. So I try to listen and juice all the wonder I've got left. But the pretty girls are all too scary. If you want a horror film, go to an ideal cafe. If you want to die, go try your hardest at telling her and yourself you're different. Try showing it. I hope I can give someone the tip of the trigger. No matter how much I write, how good it is, it'll still be a page in a book, on a shelf, in a room, in a world filled with too many people to share the emptiness. So please, die for me. Life is slowly falling away. Age is starting to seem proportional to a lot of bad things. Maybe it's an acquired taste. I don't know how to embrace the moment. As my clock's tiny pieces unalign, I become a desperate, energetic fool. I'll jump to any conclusion to be alive for just a frame of the real. As I remember, I'm only in the second chapter. Everyone starts shouting over each other, as if any revelation could bring me back to life, as if today is the day. Thank you.
Alex Hayes.
Hello, everyone. I have an excerpt of a short story that I'm writing that I'm going to read to you all. I apologize, it's on my phone, so I hope to not mess up too much. My life story is one that is non-typical. Without question, I was not your average boy that grew up in a city playing baseball and chasing women. I was quite the opposite. But wait, before I start off, I must introduce myself. My name is Cletus Jr. Reed. I go by CJ. But as a child, people called me Junior or Cletus. I grew up in Arcadia, Louisiana, just about an hour north of New Orleans. My family was dysfunctional, just about as dysfunctional as you could possibly get. My parents got along quite well, actually, but I think that's because they're third cousins. I had four siblings, but currently only three are living. My older brother's name was Bobby. He was 2 years older than me, but I always felt that he was much older. Most of it was due to the fact that he was embarrassed of me and wanted nothing to do with me. Bobby passed away when he was 24 in a drunk driving accident. My parents were never the same. I figured it was because he was their favorite. Sometimes I think my parents wish it was me who would have died in the accident instead of Bobby. But I'm still here, and he's not. Funny how that works out sometimes. My younger brother, Scooter, is still alive and well. Maybe not so well. His favorite sport is NASCAR, just because you can drink beer. If you could drink beer at a violin recital, well, then it'd be a second favorite sport. Growing up, Scooter was probably the closest family member I had. Since then, we've grown apart. I love my brother, but I do not love seeing him in the condition in which he is in. Some say, it's funny how things change. My experience is, it's sad how things change. I guess there's one thing that you can count on, and that is change, all right? My younger twin sisters, Luther and Laura, are your typical girls. They like boys, makeup, clothes, boys, music, boys, and at one point, Barbie, for boys. I never talked to them much, mostly because I could not wrap my head around why someone could enjoy doing what they called fun. To be honest, I tried to stay as far away from my family as possible, not for me, but for them. I was scared that I would embarrass them. Blood is thicker than water? That's the biggest lie I've ever heard. To be honest, growing up, I only had one friend, Latario. Well, two if you included my three-legged dog, Cooter. This was all I had, or so I thought. Especially Latario. He was my buddy. Nothing could separate us, not even death. So I thought.
Rosedrop Rust, and hi, I haven't read for a while. I'm going to read from a collection of things that I wrote for to announce performances for a role play group that role plays characters from Josh Whedon's Firefly. This is kind of like fan fiction a bit, right? Kind of out of the ordinary for me. I guess I'm a downer. Anyway, so this particular character goes from planet to planet, singing in bars. Right? So far, he's found a piano bar with good whiskey and a guitar. He needs a place to sleep. He has his secrets to keep. From a backward colony ruled by cruel theocracy, prosecuting persecution of women of psychic vision. His mother saw her fate at the hands of heads of state in engineering his escape under cover of brutal rape. He wanders on, it seems, troubled by his dreams, singing past his sorrows, hoping of better tomorrows. He'd seen his share of bar brawls, it's true, not always from a safe distance, too. They flare from a girl's come-hither glance and burn in a jealous boyfriend's stance. This ballet of tenuous male possession, choreographed by whispered suggestion, flailing fist fury of juvenile jealous rages, hearkening to primordial primate ages. Alcohol, jet-powered, fueled, and fanned, chairs are thrown and flying bodies land. It's ritual violence and a week ending right, just another bar fight on a Saturday night. A young man made escape from his home and suffered the travails of wandering alone. The more distance between him and his past strangers made him feel less the outcast. He found himself a backwater port of call, 20 parsecs from away from no place at all. A myth and a nightmare met alien life form, invading his body, making cells transform. Whenever heartbeat is stirred by desire, the closer he gets to intense sensual fire, then alien mythical nightmare will try to terrify lovers and let dragon form fly. When he woke, he had that glow like after a good movie or an engrossing novel or fabulous sex. That the flashing dreamlike images were from eyes not coded for human brains to interpret, but the sound, like a rushing wind, exerted head-pounding pressure on his ears and took a long time to fade. Certain things bothered him. He found he'd been away for 2 weeks. His small room looked tornado-tossed, and he wasn't hungry. Oh yeah, and then there's the dragon breath. Then walking with a companion in an unfamiliar ship, her perfume got the attention of his traveler, and he walked distractedly headlong into a low passage entryway. With enough force to knock him barely conscious, he heard her cry out, "What's your name?" The creature inside growled something indecipherable and then said, "Call me Lizard Licker of Blue Moons, Pearl Polisher, and Eater of Orchid Worlds. You have quite a nasty bump, musician." Flying from planet to planet, in a quest to satisfy dreams, he surfaces from thin air and disappears again, it seems. Pitching round peg into square hole, it is a logical impossibility, but since alien transformation, he has a talent for invisibility. He thinks he needs to go. He doesn't quite understand. One instant, he's in full view, and then in alien no man's land. Dragons are overpowering beings, only seen when they want to be. He is nowhere when he's gone, but is back where he wants to be. Trying to suppress his symbiote and overcome its appearances, he had attempted various ways to create some kind of interferences. These attempts were met with a cruel alien ferocity. It seems it had experienced other hosts' non-complicity. It pounded on his wailing walls and shattered all cohesiveness. It melted holes in barred doors, rendering best defenses useless. So broken then had he become that he just crumbled into dust, awake from deathly dark dreams under mounds of dragon's rust.
Give the magnificent little ball to the first young kid that I saw, and she loved it on the bus. The whole bus was chasing it around the floor because she kept bouncing it to see the lights, and it was rattling around, and they were retrieving it for her, but it's good to be back. It's beautiful down there. Bouncing around this town from lofty spots down underground, there is no destination, can't escape what's not yet found. Each verse is weaved of words, deserve to make each thought have sound. It's all in what we say in truth, since worth's not weighed in pounds.
Hi, I'm high, wearing ties and tags, stuck eating sweetened apples and checking Baz and cash, selling Uncle Sam and asking him payments made in ones as I'm counting half full stacks of them. Without a place to stay and space my veins inscribed on napkins in ways evade my past, and then I'm latching back to snaps within my mind, a kind designed. In little time, I'm coming back again, seeking sheets of paper, keep receipts, reliefs on top of them. Can't reach these fleets of people if it's only SCOE scoffs at them. Waiting tables. Gotta keep the receipts, man, else you don't get paid. What's within reality besides less logic than fallacy? Attempts at place and value within bits of triviality. Gives a shape to space, it no doubt creates mentality, puts time in its place and divides our days hourly. Fake colors fill pictures, derive falsely from flowers, see, revere the lives of others, cause it's us who live so shallowly, with deceptions deceiving and perceptions misleading. Where do we go to know the truth that's truly worth us believing? When most are more controlled than rooms enclosed with a ceiling. Gotta find the right mentality before we get to reeling. Come to trust us first, before the worst provide a mind unaffected by the rest who can improve upon designs. Writing words to waste ink and playing tapes to rewind. Can't choose a select few to represent our whole kind. Settings need be circular for speech to reach the masses. Once words are front and center, it seems to be a lot like classes. Not a whole lot, really. May tell yourself you're different, but with the end of the day, can't help but face reality, see life has had its way. What's left to gain control besides submit and just pray? Catch a quick glimpse of freedom, but it's only display. Beyond beneath the surface, these words are deep as earth is. Brings about a place to make the birds come out their perches. No perception except in relevance. Forget the stairs to heaven. Me, I'm headed straight to hell for this. With most astray from truth, they too acouth to be but celibates. The only thing in mind is if I can even tell if it's an article genuine or some fake imitation. Can't be any less adept if you should seek to find elation. Rewrite your own rules, cause they're the only ones you'll use. Otherwise, it's up to others to get the grasp and abuse. Fate of so many lives, the place for children and wives, but I've found it takes more than grasp of facts to be wise.
It's up to you, but yeah, you're at like 4 minutes.
Oh, I'll do that. I've been in so many time zones recently, I can't keep track. Genuine tiredness. People talk a lot, really say quite little. The first to be objective, I'm around the part that's middle. But words are backed in thought, a bit like government bonds. Except while some receive attention, they treat people like pawns. This life won't cease to breach us, our ideas are teachers. Yet still we play the role, the very media feeds us. Best get back to basics, for they face us for certain. Cause this selection may be just, but this just ain't working. Yet claim it's all right as long as we go to church and hold ourselves self righteous despite this moral desertion. Repetitious statistics mean much less than opinions. The best of all the intellect suggests to undermine dominions. Absolutes can prove mistaken and proof is overrated. The basic state of life is closer subtle than stated. Held within closed lips, correct but left unsaid. Stop to try to find it, you'll be likely left for dead. Not an object of concrete, it lies inside your head. About as bright as raging fire, but less blatant than red. Except that some concepts lie beyond our comprehension. Be aware in thin air is more than common conventions. That which evades thought cannot demand our attention. Cause there's no need for confrontation if you're already sensing. Some wishes are for cards of business and hopes to land an extension. But there exists amidst this system so much more than need for pensions.
I'm the last performer of the night. My name is Patrick Bocard. My first poem is a religious poem, sort of an old-time religion.
Hipster hunting in the sky. The insincere also end up dead, collected by the flowing hordes in the sky. Vintage clothing, mere husks. To be shocked once the naked living corpses join the Odin-led throng in a new American revival of the proud wild Norse hunt. No longer seeking haggard troll women, but hypocrites wearing hip tackle bait. A smart-ass remark about a Bathory shirt will earn the fool a spear in the side and a spot in the sword parade darkening new skies. Quote your witticisms carefully. Thor's hammer is both mighty and ironic when it snaps a frail hipster body down.
So I read both of these next two poems last Tuesday, so it is all my fault. The heat death of the universe begins at home. Omzi spots an icicle forming in our bedroom window and sends a SWAT team to survey the next ice age. Spider webs crack at my wrist windshields. Our cat freezes to death in mid-meow. My housemates and I swim ecstatic over a minuscule heating bill. Our smiles flash freeze into place when we unplug the refrigerator and let all that warm air escape the freezer. Friends' voices crystallize over the phone. U.S. West is speechless. Living room air crackles whenever people pass through it. A glacier climbs the roof and puts out the sun at the center of the universe. Our landlord, Lucifer, creaks open the basement door. She turns the thermostat up, but it breaks in her six-fingered grip.
I am the god of snow. Your chains lie useless against me. Rain city shall fall behind schedule under my light load. Watch 4x4s thrown asunder by my wheel fraying power. Behind you, before you, everywhere you drive, fall the silent flakes of death. My spirit winters Portland. No one shall work. One cubic centimeter in victory. This stalled economy is mine.
Wow, so we actually finished before the time was up. I'm assuming everyone who wanted to perform got a chance to. Speak now or forever hold your peace until next week. What a sentence that is. So, yeah, thanks to everyone for coming out. Thanks, everyone, for sticking around. Thanks for everyone for performing. Thanks to Chris, the barista. Hope you tipped him well. If not, there's still time. Thanks to Bobby and Three Friends Coffee House and everyone else who's a member of Show and Tell Gallery. Thanks. And this will be podcast in hopefully a couple weeks.
Tomorrow, but listen, we'll bust and we'll help you.